It started with a tiny black and white photo album dated India, 1942-45. It's my dad, Michael Mallett's record of his time in his early 20s behind a desk in the Royal Army Pay Corps in Meerut, Uttar Pradesh, India, not far from Delhi. Sergeant Michael Mallett, 7662214, was in the Royal Army Pay Corps and sent to India where he had a desk job. I remember as kids we used to say, "What did you do in the war, Dad? Did you ever kill anyone?" He said, "No, we think if we ever held a gun, it would have been once to guard some documents, and we were never given any ammunition, and we weren't shown how to use it." Ah, right. So we weren't very interested as kids. But finding these photos and some of his letters to his family, we decided to go in search of the places he'd seen, like the Taj Mahal and Delhi and this little military town, a footnote in history. It's the place in 1857 where the Indian Mutiny kicked off. So Michael arrived in India in September 1942 in Bombay, where he says, "Here we are. Our draft was one of the last to leave the ship, and we were lucky enough to spend one day in the city. Immediately on leaving the docks, we were surrounded by a horde of Indians who tried to manicure our nails, clean our shoes, cure any corns we might have, sell us doubtful literature, find us a woman, show us the city, or treat us to such interesting shows as cutting a boy's tongue out or other tour de force of the magician." Ooh. Right. And then they were off on a 36-hour train journey on wooden slatted seats with frequent stops for rations and char. And at night they'd pull down the shutters to keep out the mosquitoes. So he was absolutely delighted to arrive at Meerut Cantonment Station. "Let's have a look." We went along to see it. Hey, it's still exactly the same today. Even the station master's office with its ancient door and weighing scales. Proudly made in Birmingham. Ancient pigeonholes, big oak desk, station benches, all completely original. There's the 19th century roof over the two platforms, a big old station sign that's as old as India, probably. Yep, certainly, this would have been very familiar to him. So the cantonment is just outside the cantonment station, and it's a huge military base, laid out on a sort of grid system. And it's still a military base today. Right. Let's see. He would have been in one of the ancient bungalows. And he and his pal Len Buckwell shared their quarters. They rented the furniture, the chest of drawers, the carpets, the curtains. And they'd have a couple of fellas along the char waller to make the tea and the laundry waller to do the laundry so they could change at least two or three times a day. Remember, no air conditioning and it'd be pretty hot and sticky. And all this cost a fraction of a rupee a month. So it's still a military base today, and getting permission, well, that's sort of down to Indian bureaucracy. You can imagine, we turn up at the gate and the chaps there on the gate say, "Oh, I'll have to get permission from the station commander." And he turns up in his tracksuit and says, "Oh, I'll have to get permission from Delhi." So it wasn't looking very hopeful. But a drive along the Mall Road and looking through the fences, you can see all these buildings and they all look completely familiar. One we thought was definitely the place turned out to be converted stables in about 1950. And then we found it. That's it. There's the bungalow. You can see the shape of the roof and the veranda all the way around it. And that's where Michael would have spent his war. He'd have recognised everything about that today. Not so much the town of Meerut, though, because that's changed quite a lot. He's got a couple of photos of the busy local bazaars and tongas, little man-drawn carts, if you like. And they're still there. Also the oxen and the bullocks and the bicycles. Michael had a bike. They're still the same. Just one gear, big, heavy old thing. But now they've got tuk-tuks and there's all the traffic and the bright lights. But along the Mall Road, that's in the military part of the town. Yep. That still looks the same. There's the Mayfair Cinema. And that reminded me that he spent a lot of time watching films. Films like Give Us the Moon, Arsenic and Old Lace. Bits of fun like Claudia and Pin-Up Girl. Tell Uncle John. He'll like that. And then you'd have watched the triumphant Disney's victory through air power. The Mayfair Cinema, still a shabby cinema today with posters on the outside. Funny to think it's still the same 70 years on. Other time off was spent busy with the drama club, with fellow officers putting on shows at the Gaiety Theatre, at the Garrison Theatre. And I recall in one of his letters he talks about For French Without Tears, where he played a younger brother. He had to shave off his moustache and said he felt naked without it. There's even a photo of him and he looks so young, so tiny. We looked for St John's Church in Meerut, where Michael was confirmed. Now, Google Maps show St John's, but it turned out to be St Joseph's. So we Google St Joseph's, thinking that will be St John's. No, that's St Thomas's. And at the end of the day of searching, we came across the Indian Church, close to the cantonment on the Mall Road, and this was the Garrison Church, or Soldiers Institute. There was a service going on, just coming to the end, in Hindi. And inside the church was a stone inscription to the fact that the Royal Army Pay Corps used this church from 1941 to 47, when Indian independence happened and partition occurred. Lo and behold, there's a senior Indian cleric there called Clement. And Clement says, oh, come and have a look. And I know quite a lot about the history of this. Very interested to see the photos. And he's showing us the pews with the little bits cut out to put the rifles in. The rifles, of course, that Michael wouldn't have carried because he only ever carried a gun once. They were never given any ammunition and never shown how to use it. Fantastic. Right. Let's have a look and see what he did on his time off and getting away from Meerut. Well, that wasn't very easy because he worked a 6-day week and just had Sundays off. So he was very excited to occasionally get a weekend free to go exploring. Now, we think of as a long weekend as 3 or 4 days, but a long weekend for Michael in the wartime would have been 2 days. And it would have been a long train journey down in Agra to go and see the Taj Mahal in July 1943. Now, it was a full moon at the time he was there, and he's got a ghostly moonlit photo of the Taj that clearly inspired him to write this very moving sonnet. Perhaps an artist on a summer's day stretched up his arms and plucked from the sky a silver cloud flecked by the golden sun and fashioned it with gentle, soft caress until his heart's desire before him lay fragile, a thing of dreams impermanent. Maybe, whilst yet he worked alone and rapt, an angel saw his dream and was much moved, yet marvelled that a mortal man could plan such loveliness. Praise be to God, he sang, grant that this splendour may not pass away. God heard the angel's prayer and breathed upon the tenuous vapours. Straight away they were stone. How else do you suppose the Taj was built? Michael Mallett, August 1943. He was 24 when he wrote that, and it seems to encapsulate the things that inspired him. Art, culture, faith. And it's just lovely to see it in that poem. Other trips took him to Delhi to go and see the Jamia Mosque. And this is an enormous mosque in Old Delhi. And getting the view that he took from the outside was quite tricky because there's a little narrow lane with just access for pedestrians or possibly a bullock. You couldn't get a car down this track. And that opens up to give you this view of the mosque. And that's the spot he stood on and took this picture. Going up the steps and inside, it would have taken his breath away and he would have gone, wow, look at this, and gone click with his box brownie. And at which point he's cut the top of the towers off and he's got a little bit too much foreground. But you can stand on the flagstone where he took that picture and be as impressed as he was 70 years ago. Absolutely amazing. Also in New Delhi is the Viceroy's Palace. And here he went with his pals and he's standing on the Viceroy's steps in pith helmet and khaki shorts and top. You can't get near it now. It's the President's Palace. You can't even stand at the railings. You have to stand at sort of about 500 metres away from this place. But looking at that spot with the photo, on the back is written the names of all the people who were there. He was very diligent about recording everybody who's on these photos. And I'm glad he did. He's got self, Owen Scheel, a bearer, Ron Elliott, Joe Monks, and sitting down, Bill Wilding. Great. Who are these people? What happened to them? Their lives intertwined for those few years, and then they dissipated and off they went their own way. And what impact did India have on Michael? Well, not every picture gives us a clue. I mean, there are some weird things like a photo of a bird in a tree. That's interesting. Clearly he was interested in art, and at Fatehpur Sikri, the ancient capital, I'm looking at the photo he's taken. It's not the best view of Fatehpur Sikri. I would have chosen something slightly different. And there are probably some drawings and some sketches that he made when he was there, but I can't find those. So I did the painting that I think he would have done of that view. The only paintings or sketches we do have are when he was on the troop ship going out to Bombay, there was a little magazine that the troops put together, and he's done some sketches there. And they're fascinating. Great. But the other thing that was important to him, of course, was his faith. And I think he got quite a lot out of India, out of the mixture of different religions, Hindus, Muslims and Christians. And 25 years later, he turned his collar around and became a priest. Wow. So don't think for one moment that gap years and adventures and going places doesn't have an impact. It does. And I'm so glad that we went in search of these places and took those photos and felt his presence and saw what inspired him. It's been a really inspirational and fabulous journey. And I'm so glad we did it.